naturally attract in those dynamics, that interaction. And again, it's various how the caretakers interacted with each other and how you interacted with each individual caretaker, because at a young age, you imprinted that is what the messaging of love is and the dynamic of love and coding of love.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn.
Though it's really commercial, happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. I personally look at today as a reminder of checking in with our own love for ourselves and our worth. So may you be manifesting a relationship or in a relationship or looking to exit one. Today, I find to be much more about us and the reflection of where we're at and what we want to take inventory than all the commercialism and messaging that surrounds us. And excitingly, we have completely buffed up Unblock Love. So when we sent out that survey of what you wanted more workshops, daily exercises within the pathway, and bonus material. And so we went in and we totally steroided Unblock Love for anybody who is manifesting partnership. And so we have new things such as magnetic online dating and how to create your magnetic profile. We have scripts in there for how to set boundaries, texting, how to communicate no to tests. We have a whole new part about perspective and looking at relationships. I mean, it's really loaded. Yeah, a lot of new energetics, a lot of new teachings. And on top of it, underneath each day, we have released Q&A, my answer to the most pressing questions we get the most often through Supported. So you'll have even that bonus material beneath of most asked questions and answers. So if you've done the workshop in the past, go back and give this a go. If you haven't manifested your partner, a lot of new examples. And if you're currently looking to manifest, we do have a code for everybody to enjoy this if you are looking to manifest, which is $40 off if you use all caps manifest love, one word. You can find it down below in the show notes. And that is good until the end of February. We've also added a whole new plethora of testimonials to the motivation that is linked below under the motivation, which is our portal, and we continue to add to it based on all of the testimonials we've ever received back from the members of the pathway. And why I think it's really important to check that out if you are manifesting anything, but specifically love this month, if it's on your mind, if you're feeling all of the pressure and energy that comes with this, you know, commercial holiday, it's a really good place to go and check out where others were at, where they have gotten to, how you identify with them. Essentially, it's a portal to find your expanders who are speaking the language that you are doing this work. And you truly get to go see to believe what's possible for you. And I highly, last of all of the announcements of the pathway, we're adding so much in there that I just want to make sure everybody knows what's going on. We have also added full new journal prompts to every single one of the daily reprogramming exercise DIs. So each of the DIs in the daily reprogramming exercise now have their very own journal prompts. So enjoy those as well. And that's our gift to you this February. I personally love this weekend. It's my birthday. I'm one of those people who actually really, really love getting older. I've always, you know, when I was in my 20s, I dreamed of being in my 30s, rightfully so. They've been far better than my 20s. They brought everything to me that I ever desired and more, continually unfolding. Same, I can't wait to check out my 40s. So this year for 35 to mark it, I usually am very quiet for my birthday. Max and I go away. And this year I was like, no, I want to take the whole month to celebrate it, you know, through just whether it's with friends or with family, connecting, using it as a marker to really connect and be together and receive. And by receiving, I mean love. And last weekend I had all of, you know, my really close-knit community who was in town and available come to my house in Topanga, and we had a beautiful picnic and meditation, and I just felt a deep sense of receiving and love. And I'm really excited for this weekend because we're actually with IVF right in between. We're about to do the retrieval. And so we could only sneak away for two nights. So Max and I are heading up to Santa Barbara tonight and tomorrow to just be calm, quiet, really take in this time of this IVF journey, which I shared a lot on Instagram. If you follow Instagram stories and talked about my experience, and I know everybody has a super unique experience through this process, but I came into it with a really specific mindset after talking to so many friends and people in this community. And my mindset was to be in absolute surrender, have zero expectation, and just have a good sense of humor about the whole thing. And I know that is my own choice. You know, it's been my own intention. And so it's really served me. And I luckily, with my specific, the cocktail that I've been given for this round, have had a phenomenal response to it. I did, as I shared before, the 7 days of birth control, and that was gnarly. I had to do that if I wanted to do it this cycle because we went away, you know, for a week. And so I had to kind of like do it to press pause and gain time. But as far as the injections have gone, it's been incredible. It actually makes me think too, because like my sleep's been deeper. I've had more energy when I wake up. I'm very glowy. I'm happy. I'm so in my feminine that I started to wonder, there must be something in these hormones that I need. So for me personally, it's been a really incredible journey. And as I walk into the retrieval process again, I have no expectations. I am seeing this round as totally an experiment, which the more I gather based on research, that tends to be essentially what the first round is for everybody. They kind of have to do one to see how you respond to go from there, apparently. So it's been an amazing experience. And I just want to share that to the person out there who, you know, may be really afraid. It took me 3 years to get ready for this. And I actually have done it for Max in a way, because I was ready to adopt a couple of years ago. And, you know, he had a real breakdown and said that we'll always be there. Can we try this? And I said, it's my body. I don't want to put my body through that. And then we just both kind of came to that decision that it felt right. And it took me a long time to be okay with that. And I tried everything natural, which many of you have followed. And so this has been more to freeze embryos, if we are lucky enough to get them, to buy more time and have more choice, if that's the right journey for us, biological children, you know, time will tell. So I'm really voicing this to the person who, when I was really researching and looking around, I heard a lot of different feedback. And again, I know everyone is so unique and has such different experiences, but mine has been amazing, phenomenal. And I would have told myself 3 years ago, why are you waiting so long? Do it. And I'm certainly not voicing that to anybody else, but I just want to be an expander if you find yourself in a similar situation. And I think, as I shared on Instagram, why this has been so freeing is the best word, is because I was so afraid of it. And before, when I was doing every single thing, I mean, from angel frequency healers to you name it, you know, I've done it all naturally. There's probably not something under the moon you could suggest to me, all the way to like the banana treatment in Ayurveda, that I haven't tried naturally. And when I was doing it from that place, it was like so in my masculine, right? It was like regimented, chasing after everything, trying everything, being disappointed all the time. It was a lot of control. I'm the type of person who is, I was on birth control once for a very small time in my teenage years and have never done it since. I'm so natural, very, very little allopathic in, I don't know, intervention in my life. And walking into this has actually been the ultimate surrender because I don't have to do anything really. I had the mindset of like just truly going with the flow and, you know, surrendering and having a sense of humor. And I actually have been just visualizing that everything's really good for my body and it's helping my body. So it's been so beautiful finally being in a place in my feminine of true, true, absolute surrender. I have no control. Everything that's happening is very formulaic and allopathic. And it's been awesome. So I share that to just be sort of a different voice that you may have heard from in this journey and community because I wish I had known that prior. But again, I wasn't ready. So who knows what will happen? Open to all, no expectations, and just happy to be an expander for anybody out there who may be in a similar situation. Let's get into today's episode. It's a great one. So today is an explained episode and we walk through love. And there's a little something for everybody in this because we touch on those who are calling in a relationship, how to stay magnetic when you're currently in an actual relationship already. And also if you're in one that no longer serves you, how to exit it with grace or to know when the right time is. So this shouldn't alienate anybody. To cover true love energetics and manifestation would probably take about 3 episodes, but we tried to condense the most important things we could within this. So I think everybody will benefit. There couldn't be a better day. And it's always been my prerogative while having this brand before when it was just a blog to really instill in people. Today isn't about the commercialism. It's about taking your power back. Really looking at who you are, what you have to offer, and what you want out of life when it comes to partnership. And I hope we cover that today.
Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. Today we have another episode of Explains covering love and partnership. And Lacey's going to run us through the energetics and manifestation covering this topic.
'Tis the season.
Yes.
Welcome. Yeah, I was being really transparent with Jessica beforehand, and I was like, oh, I'm not really tapped into this energy right now, so I'm just going to fully open up and channel as much as I can during this. And one of the first messages that came through is that regardless if you're in partnership, seeking partnership, leaving a really challenging partnership, or you know, one that's maybe ending a little too early, all of it really comes back to ourself. So this episode's much more about, I guess, for lack of a better word, self-improvement, then it really has to do with the outside experience. Because once we develop ourselves enough, we therefore then attract in the mirror that's going to help ourselves and that person grow much more.
Amazing. Yeah. And then the quote kind of I pulled, which is on theme for the episode, is appreciate your authentic worth so much that you would not settle for a partner who isn't in alignment with your worth.
And that goes for everything in manifestation.
Absolutely. So kind of walk us back through just for someone to get a little refresher, the new person coming in, like how would you define the authentic self?
You know, I talk about this a lot. We even kind of touched on it in the last episode where we really went through expanders. And the authentic self is really about, I like to always say that it's getting back to that authentic version of us, that essence that we were born with before we had any programming laid on top of us. And people, I've heard some pushback in that where they're like, well, it's not about delayering to get back to something you were. What about the present moment? And it's not really something you were. It's your essence. And that essence is totally whole, totally complete, expansive. But what I want to actually, because we did touch on that in the last episode, I want to bring it back down into the senses. When we're really in that place of our authentic selves, what it feels like. How does that feel for you, Jessica, when you've tapped into that place?
It's ease. It's able to like if anything came at me, my sphere difficulty or anything, it feels like I can move through it with ease. I'm not fearful, anticipating of the future. It is a feeling of presence, and confidence. And it almost is like when you get a really clear ping, sort of, when you're just like, this is what you have to do or something like that. It feels light, like you're almost tingly. There's like a tingly sensation. It's a very like floaty kind of feeling of just, okay, I know how to, you know, tackle this day, or I know how whatever works, like I'm held or guided or protected, or I feel in flow with that version.
I'd have to agree that mine definitely feels very big and joyous because that's my natural state. And it feels very in faith. Mm-hmm. So deeply in faith. That means like that free falling. I know I'm safe. I'm taken care of. I'm protected. And it feels very aligned. So things keep coming. They just keep floating and flowing with me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, most the time that I actually feel like this the most is when we're recording and things like that, because I'm so programmed from acting. I did the Sandy Meisner technique where you're fully present. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the whole objective. That I do have to say my overarching word, if I were to give it one, is completely present. I'm not thinking, I'm not doing the ego dance and thinking about myself and my head and what does this person think or any of that. I'm just bubbly and present because mm-hmm. that is my true nature.
Mm, I love that.
So really everybody's may vary, but I think you're hearing some common words. And for the person who's like, cool, I've intellectualized and heard the abstractness of getting back into my whole worthy authentic self, here's just a couple of anchors and pinpoints for how it feels for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it changes. Like there can be a small section of time where I feel like it for a few minutes, you know, and then something could knock me off that. But then I go back to that like center. It's almost having that like center of like, okay, nothing can shift me from this at the moment.
Now the question is, when you were single the most and having the hardest time attracting in partnership, how often were you in that space?
Oh, probably never.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, for me, when I was in the, like, I want a boyfriend or whatever in those phases of my life, it was such a it's almost like I needed the partnership for a validation. Like I was lacking taking care of myself in other ways, and wanted the partner to come in and fulfill that. And that's just, you know, you're not in your worth in order to have someone come in at that point.
And now in your current, and I would say the exact same about myself, I was actually at that time always dog paddling to be something else in an effort for them to come through. And same, it was an extension of happiness for me rather than me being autonomous in a situation and happy with another person as we're self-growing together. And now in your current partnership, when you are tapped into that authenticness, is there way more flow, and is it better in the partnership than when you're not? Say like you're doing the work or you're in that faith, that peace, that flow, does your current relationship grow and move much more smoothly?
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Other than when you're like codependent or needy or bitchy or blah, which is all perfectly fine, the spectrum. I would argue that mine does as well. But what I'm really pointing out is at the end of the day, in order to attract the partnership you want, it's about kind of doing the work and making the space to get there. And we have our own tools towards that. And therefore, if you are in partnership and you're questioning it, and of course, this is excluding abuse, verbal, physical, all the things, but you're in a constructive relationship, in order to have it grow or to expand into where you'd like it to go in manifestation, again, it's a self-reflection, getting back to your own authenticity. And of course, when exiting a relationship, which we can kind of talk about as well, it's really about getting into that grace and authenticity as well. So that's what it kind of boils down to at the end of the day. That's what we're going to be covering.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about the unblocked piece. And that, I mean, I think that we kind of touch on that with the authentic self, but like, how would you define unblocking in a partnership?
Sure. So first we'll get into trauma bonding. I think that's a really good picture of feeling blocked. we tend to attract in whatever modeling we witnessed growing up may it have been our very direct caretakers, how, and it doesn't have to be specifically how they treated each other. It can also be the dynamic of how we interacted with each of them. So may it have been in a, you know, it could have been any caretakers. I grew up with four different households. So for you, maybe it was a mother, father, mother, mother, father, father, maybe it was uncle, aunts, whomever, adopted parents, the foster system. You're going to naturally attract in those dynamics, that interaction. And again, it's various how the caretakers interacted with each other and how you interacted with each individual caretaker, because at a young age, you imprinted that is what the messaging of love is and the dynamic of love and coding of love. And a lot of us know that most of us, I'd say 90% of us, were raised in households that were dysfunctional, versus what our true authentic selves actually, our conscious, higher authentic self actually craves. And again, that's not woo-woo higher self. It just means the best version of ourself, what we actually desire and want in order to become the best version of ourselves in this lifetime and to walk that path with somebody else. So trauma bonding is really this thing we do where we tend to continue to attract over and over and over again those same dynamic experiences into our life. And if we don't do the unblocking, so going back to simple psychology, looking at the imprintation we picked up and imprinted from 0 to 7, 14, if I'm being generous, what love is supposed to mean to us. And everybody's is different, and there's a big spectrum of the dysfunction of what that looks like. So until we actually start to open up our subconscious and take a peek inside of it and see why we may keep attracting in, maybe we're not attracting anything at all. Maybe we're attracting in dysfunction. Maybe we're attracting in a safe version because we don't want to be hurt. You know, there's so many variables of what we can be attracting in versus what our best self actually wants and needs. So it's really about opening up that subconscious. In a subconscious state, we do it primarily through my version of hypnosis called Deep Imaginings, where you really look at why am I attracting in what I don't want or not attracting in anything at all? And how do I start to unblock that so I stop attracting in trauma bonding? And that's what it is. It's usually we're attracting in our other piece of our trauma. So how our caretaker, let's say our mother, for instance, how she may have dealt with us and our interaction of what love meant, we tend to play our role and then attract in the other puzzle piece of her role through multiple partners, whatever sex we may be attracted to. For instance, in Max and I, my current partner, we still trauma bonded, but we're evolved enough to both be doing our own personal work to be unblocking through that together, to walk this journey together. So that's a really important thing to understand, is that we often attract in our trauma bonds, our other puzzle piece. And it could be various, like other partners in the past for me have played my father role. They've played my aunt role. I've played my grandmother to them. And we tend to always fit each other's other halves of what they needed from that person, or vice versa.
So I think that's an important thing to touch on too, is noting that just because you realize, oh my gosh, I've trauma bonded with this person over something that maybe I don't want to act like anymore or do anymore, it doesn't mean the relationship's wrong or bad. It's sort of like this is kind of how two people are attracting to each other, and then you kind of go in and do the work together in most cases.
Well, yeah. And so I don't want to give permission to the person who is giving licensing to the emotionally available, unavailable suitors they might be bringing into their lives. You know, for a long time when I wasn't doing any work on myself, I was a doormat always in dating. And I think a lot of people can identify with this, where they tend to attract in the person that doesn't want to commit to them, or they're not a great communicator and that's really their love language, or X, Y, and Z. We can keep naming that off. Up front, those would be called tests, which we've covered in Explained 101. But if you are attracting in, and sort of the difference when you're in, let's say, dating, before you're in the stage of being committed, usually when you manifest in the person you're supposed to tango with for quite a while, or for a while, whatever that looks like for you, it tends to feel like this. It just comes, and this isn't like trauma bonding this. It just, there aren't games. Both are available and they're trying to communicate and want to commit to each other. So there's that distinction when you're dating. However, if you are playing a lot of games, you don't know why the person's not calling, they're not being upfront, they don't want to commit, if you need commitment, that's problematic. That's a test. So in the beginning, if you are attracting in trauma bonding tests, those aren't the things you need to take your time to work through with that other person, because it's a little bit of a wasted time. If two people aren't consciously wanting the same thing together, there's not going to be space and room for the two people to work on issues together, right? Exactly. So if you're dating somebody and they're really just wanting to hook up, and maybe they're kind of making it seem like they want something in the future, they don't, because it's not this, right? It's games. So that's just something I don't want to give licensing to. However, I'll give Max and I as an example. We really came together like this. And I think everybody plays out a version of their trauma bonds in relationships. Can you identify, like, even in yours, are you guys playing out some trauma bonding?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was, family of divorce. And so I had a lot of trust issues. And Daniel, my partner, loves freedom and to do his own thing.
Million percent.
Yeah, he's Aries. Totally trustworthy, like beyond trustworthy person. But that freedom to me was fearful. So I had to sort of, I was attracted to that freedom because it was like, cool, are you going to be in your worth and still be with someone that's not trustworthy or whatever? But then I was like, no, I can sort of work through that and understand this person is trustworthy. They're not going to run away and do all the things that I was nervous about with having trust issues. So it's kind of like working through those dynamics, but feeling like that partnership was like that kismet connection.
And you guys didn't really have the games and stuff in the beginning.
No,
not at all. Right. Yeah. But you had experienced different dating experiences before him where you had.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was people that were, you know, flaky or non-responsive or weren't clear with communication or didn't want to go down and have like conversations about their feelings. To me, I'm like, oh yeah, cool. They'll come around. Like, they're not going to come around.
It's just not where they're at.
Yeah. That stuff is going to be made clear pretty early on in the courting process.
Yeah. And do you find that you guys are playing out roles from caretakers when you look at assess maybe his mom or your dad or?
Yeah. I think in the like freedom aspect, he's very similar to my dad in that regard. They're very different people, obviously, but he has like the themes of needing that.
Yeah. And I think a really important thing to understand is if we just, we take out all of the physical, right? That we're all the stuff society's told us about what a relationship should be and we're in these bodies and blah, 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 blah. I think the real thing of what's happening is we are all just attracting in mirrors constantly that are reflecting back to us where we need to unblock to become, again, back to that whole authentic, worthy self. So even in whether you're in dating and partnership or exiting a relationship, hopefully consciously together, that's all that's really happening at the end of the day when we take out the triggers around everything. It's that we're mirroring back to each other what we need to work on and to unblock. And the beautiful thing is when we do actually take the time, whomever might be tuning into this, if you're the partner, you're the person the partner sent this episode to listen to, or the friend, this is actually a rewarding and exciting thing is when we take the time to look at that mirror, view it as a trigger, go and do the work, whether it's this work or other work, or you're working with someone, and we actually get down to the root of where we pick this up and we change it. And then we reinforce in the conscious state, changed behavior. So we unblock it. Then the beautiful thing, because love and money are so tied, we're going to start making more money, having more career opportunities. Mm-hmm. When I say money, it means security. So that means our homes are better, like everything, meaning like we attract in better homes, better things on the material plane that reward us. So that's incentive. If you are in a very triggered state, may it be dating right now, may it be in relationship or exiting, when you are at those really low points or those points of giving up, it's a really important thing to remember. Cool. At least I can work on this to make the other aspects of my life much better, which is an exciting thing. And guess what? Here's the other thing I've learned after being in quite a few relationships is they're all going to be the same at the end. I mean, each person's different and whatever, but at the end of the day, they're all going to turn into some form of work. So at least if you have to work through them, at least know that you're going to be rewarded in other ways if you're actually stepping up to do the work, which I find to be motivating in relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of like that security piece too, with a lot of people who are like anxious avoidant or whatever with partnerships, is like, you're not doing the work just to secure your partner like more intensely. You're doing it to secure your own worth so you can have these other aspects of your life sort of come in and fulfill you, so the reliance on that partner is not as strong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's just so much to cover in relationships. I feel like this explained episode is going to go on so many tangents. We could do like 5 episodes if we wanted to break down each aspect of, may it be dating, partnership, and also exiting in manifestation.
Because that's really what it is. It's people searching for their partner. Why are they not finding their partner? It's people who are in relationships, but
should they stay?
Right. Should they stay? Or how do they make it better? How do they get communication better? How do they understand each other as they grow and become different people? And then it's people who are like, I'm pretty sure I need to leave, but I don't know how to leave. And how do I do that?
Right.
So it's a big topic to cover.
It is a big one. We're just going to keep throwing things at everybody.
Yes. So what is the difference between a mirror and a lesson?
Ooh, I think they're the same thing.
Okay.
So I guess the real question here is when does something become toxic and worth considering that it's not the right thing for you? So certainly if there's any form of abuse happening, period, I have a that's like a clause for me when I would work with people. That's something that very seriously has to be considered and navigated and protected, and it's real and right, and you're worth it. So that's always a big, big filter. If that's happening, it's time to seek support around that and the potential of exiting that experience. So that's a huge one right away. That's a big, big red flag. Even if it's in the very beginning of dating, you're starting to experience gaslighting or emotional manipulation. So gaslighting, what that looks like is when you suspect something and the other person actually turns it around on you like you're crazy. That's the best way I can really break it down in layman's terms, yeah, is that you're being made to feel crazy for something that actually is valid. So that's a form of gaslighting. And then emotional manipulation. So that's manipulating you to get something that the person wants, and they're using your emotions to manipulate you. So it could be me making Max feel guilty about going on a business trip because I don't want to stay home alone by myself. That's emotional manipulation. So those are forms I would put them in the category of filtration, where that's something that really needs to be looked at. If you're in the courting phase, that to me, it's like a pretty big red flag. If you've been doing heavy work on yourself and you do desire a relationship that's going to be mature enough to continue working on something together, bettering ourselves while walking this path together. But if you're in relationship, then it's time to either supervise, or if the two people are conscious enough to propose that conversation, we need to look at these things that aren't healthy and they're not working for either of us. They're not helping either of us grow, nor are they helping this relationship grow. That's when you can seek counseling together. If that's not an option, that's when, again, you can start to look at if exiting is the right plan. So really, to me, what exiting all comes down to is my partner willing to do the work with me and go, if that's seeking out professional help, if that's doing some of this work, if that's doing other accessible work that exists out there that maybe is psychology-based or spiritual-based or tool-based. Usually it comes down to, are they willing to work with me if I'm being stunted, unhappy, or abused? And if it's a no, that's when I start to look at the exiting potential. And I personally really believe for myself, my philosophy is I'm here to try to evolve and grow the most I can in this lifetime. I'm only 35. I'm still totally stumbling and trying to figure all of that out. I'm shoulder to shoulder with everybody else doing that. Where to me, I really desire to become the best version of myself in this lifetime. So whomever I'm in partnership with, they have to meet me there. They really have to meet me that they're willing to do the work. And so that's a huge exiting lens for me. Are they willing to do the work? Dating? Red flags are just red flags. Like, that's right. I'm like, this is only going to personify and get bigger. So that's a filtration process for me. And then certainly we can talk about exiting relationships with energetics and grace, but that's sort of my line.
I'm quickly interrupting this episode to explain what the pathway is, because people still ask us. It's our unlimited all access total workshop space. It includes all of our DIs, our workshops, our supported class, and our community support. You can actually use the code for podcast listeners, which is expanded. That's capital EXPANDED, all caps again, for $20 off the first month of your membership. Or the same code applies if you would like to use it towards any of our a la carte workshops. And if you're actually just wanting to test out what this work is like for free and kind of get some clarity on what you want to manifest, click the link below for our free clarity workshop to give it a try.
What are some of the other things that you would maybe put down as like non-negotiables? Like, what are things that when people are looking to call in their partner and they're meeting potential suitors, that right off the bat they can like disregard or see them as a test or see them as like, okay, this is not going to be your person? Like, what are those ways that they can maybe crystallize the yeses and the noes a little bit better?
So we had three that I mentioned, I've been mentioning on the speaking tour, that I think are really, really beneficial, and they're still energetically applicable to this. Number one is, have you created a boundary recently around something? So a boundary can look like, I will no longer accept the person who hits me up at 11 p.m. at night to see them, because clearly that doesn't mean their intentions respect me, that they actually are putting my thoughts in my calendar, my availability forward. You know, like there's a big level of, I'm losing the word, but non-consideration going on there. So maybe that's a boundary you've just set with yourself in the dating world. Then you're going to be tested, right? You're going to start getting tested with somebody who's so your list, and they've actually been really, really responsive, and the conversation has been nice so far, but then it moves into the space where they start doing that to you. It's an automatic no, because you've declared to the universe, if the universe feels not inclusive enough, energetically, you've declared for your worth in yourself that I will no longer accept X. And then if you're tested on X, it's a hard no. So that's one. Secondly, does it make you feel shame or embarrassment? So if you were to go out and tell your friends or coworkers is a good one, because your friends are more intimate. So they see into a lot of your vulnerability, whereas we don't really get as deeply intimate with, let's say, the coworkers that we haven't turned into full-fledged friends with yet. So would it embarrass you if the behavior you're receiving from, like, let's say this dating experience, if you were to tell your coworkers about it, would you be like, that sounds really bad coming out of my mouth? Oh, that's a hard no. Mm-hmm. And then three, does it make you sink or have low self-worth when you experience something? So maybe you've been seeing each other for so many dates and you run into their friends at a restaurant and they don't introduce you as someone they're dating or someone they're on a date with or someone they're seeing. I don't know, maybe it's you guys have hooked up already and that's not happening, and that makes you feel a little low and not seen. And it could be something as simple as a conversation later where you're like, maybe they don't want to be presumptuous because you haven't had that conversation. But if they're not even there, so they're like, what? I don't, you know, it's a no. Mm-hmm. So it's really those three things are a great filtration process. Does it impede on a boundary? does it make you feel shame if you tell people that aren't that close to you that could judge you? And then three, does it make you sink or feel small? That's a really good filtration process.
That would knock out so many of the suitors.
I know, same.
Like if I go back through my dating history, I'm like, wow, that could have saved me so much time.
So much time. And that's for every type of manifestation test that's coming through. Yeah. So write that down.
Yes.
Maybe we'll put it in the show notes.
Yes. Yeah. Love that. Perfect.
We have an old manifestation post from like 4 weeks ago that says that as well, if you want to reference that on Instagram.
So what happens if you know this person's red flag and you see they you know, don't, it's a hard no, but you just continue dating him. Will there ever be hope? What can they learn from that? Is that sort of passing a test, not passing a test? How are they getting expanded through that potentially? What's kind of the energetics dynamic if they go forward with that not right choice?
Yeah. And so there's a lot of talk always of, oh, did I fail the test? And there's no such thing as fail. These are energetics. So the only thing you're dancing with is your own self-worth, because being in your authentic worth is where you get rewarded with manifestations. Also, being expanded enough for it and unblocked enough for it. But truthfully, all of that that you're doing, whether it's unblocking, expanding, and passing tests, all of that, all it's doing, you're dancing with yourself energetically. Let's say you're a total atheist and you don't believe in the universe energetically. So just physics, you know, you're dancing with your own worth. So if you and your, like, the whole point of dancing with your own worth in quotes is getting back to your worthy self, that self we described earlier. So if you fail a test, which a lot of people are worried about, you can't really do that, because who would you be failing with yourself? It says that you're dancing with your own energetic worth. So all that happens if you don't pass a test is that you're going to be retested again, because the universe is wanting to connect you. Energy is wanting to connect you with whatever you're vibrating at the same level with, for lack of a better word. You hear that manifestation, right? Like, you have to be in the same frequency as something else. All that means is your self-worth has to be in the exact same as their self-worth. That's all that's dancing around are self-worths. I don't know if I can make that plural, self-worths, but I'm going to. So that's all that happens, is you'll just receive another, maybe a couple other, depending on how much you knew. Like, your instinct told you not to, but you did it out of low self-worth behavior. That degree of difference, that's how much you'll be tested. And it's not going to be bad. In fact, all it's doing is it's going to strengthen your trust muscle over and over again of how worthy you truly are. So it's actually a beautiful lesson. And when I would work with clients, I would really advise them or encourage them to run into the fire. One of our past clients who you've heard on this podcast before, Amanda Blair, I mean, listen to that episode. It took her so many fires to run into before she started to really get a taste of what self-worth was. And she's an attachment style, an anxious attachment style. So it can take them much longer than an avoidant. An avoidant, you're inherently kind of narcissistically worthy, even though it's not fully healthy, but you lean more on the side of being a little bit more worthy. So she ran into the fire until she finally got burned enough where she wasn't going to settle her worth anymore. And sometimes we have to do that. And I think that's a really important thing to learn. So when you're doing that, you're simultaneously being expanded, because each time you run into the fire and you get burned, and then after the point you say enough, like number one of that filtration questioning process of will I impede on a boundary anymore? The next thing you don't settle for, your expansion is going to be so much wider than it ever would have been if you prematurely stopped running into the fire and you just did it because you know better intellectually. You won't actually be as expanded in that point as you would have been if you had experienced failing enough times, for lack of a better word. That's just what people call it, as failing a test. Or if you hadn't run into the fire and gotten burnt enough times. Because when you're no longer willing to take it, and then the next one you don't settle, you're going to have such a stronger trust muscle in your worth in yourself. So there's a massive expansion that's happening for every time you quote unquote fail a test. Does that answer?
Yeah, absolutely.
So have courage if you're out there. Don't worry if you have a one night stand again. Maybe, I mean, I'll talk about this actually. And I think this is an important topic in society. One thing that I'll encourage, and I certainly used to encourage clients a lot, and I encourage this in our Unblocked Love workshop, to not sleep with someone for 6 weeks. And this, it would baffle you how often I would have a client that isn't sexually empowered. So this isn't for the person who is so expansive. They're so in their worth. They have such a healthy relationship with their sexuality and expression now. And that is a beautiful, beautiful spiritual place to arrive at. But I've actually met very, very, very few people that are in that state of worthiness. And they will use that as an excuse that I'm like a sexually liberated person. And it's like, are you? Or are you using it to be loved? And if there's no longer that, like, you're able to attract in whatever type of partnership you want, if you even desire a partnership, maybe you're poly, maybe you have a lot of different views on what you want to experience in the partnership realm. If you are able to always attract in whatever those experiences are, then you are a sexually empowered person. But if you're not quite there yet, that's where it's like, I definitely really would caution sleeping with somebody on a biochemical level, like just that simple, fumbles everything, right? Because, you know, just basic brain chemistry, we're not seeing clearly anymore after that. We have a hormonal response that either makes us attached or the other person unattached, you know, based on what sexuality and what sex. So it just keeps things a lot less complicated to be able to see through the lens of, is this a test or not, a lot more clearly. That's one thing I just like to make as a disclaimer.
That's a really good point. I think people sometimes can say I'm empowered and that's why I don't mind sleeping with them so early, but it's almost like they try to use it as a defense mechanism back, and it doesn't.
I used to
work.
I've guilty of this. Yeah. Total, and I would be a fucking doormat every time I did it because I was not a sexually empowered person yet.
Yeah.
I wasn't in my worth enough and certainly wasn't attracting what I wanted over and over again.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, so you've mastered really, I mean, you've said before that partnership's kind of like your bread and butter because it's like so, so clear for you to sort of see through that. For the person who is crafting the list of their partner, how can they really understand the difference between these ego items and items that are really what their soul is sort of calling in?
Yeah, you know, it really comes down to core wants and understanding our core wants. You know, I talk about this in our workshop a lot, Unblock Love, where what are your true non-negotiables? And I'll go back to Amanda again. In that episode, we mentioned this, the one she was on prior, and I'm going to paraphrase, but I remember on her list, I used to do in-person workshops where it would be like a circle and, you know, only 30 of us. And I remember her on her list, she had British and red hair, I think is what it was. And we laughed about it and we were like, well, what makes you want that, out of curiosity? And she finally narrowed it down further and she was like, oh, I guess I associate that with having a great sense of humor. That's sort of, those are my, you know, brain associations with a partner that could have a great sense of humor. And so rather than it being British and red headed, you would actually put on your list a great sense of humor. So it's really getting down to what are your non-negotiable core wants and needs. And thinking back to my list, God, it was so long ago. Do you remember yours? I mean, I know you had your list before this work, but do you remember it?
Yeah. My list with Daniel was, I mean, it was pretty, like, I, at that point I had gone through the fire in relationships. I was burned in different situations. Like I was at the like, okay, I need to get really clear on what I want. And so that list was someone who was like generous and kind and had like a really good heart, a good heart for family, very creative. And we could do like creative projects together, like spend the evening, you know, listening to music or editing photos. Just like I envision this like
creativity.
Yeah, this like creative Zen den, so to speak, which like coming from the East Coast and living in New York, like I didn't know a lot of people who did that. So that was really important to have that in my partnership. Someone who was trustworthy and honest, someone who wanted monogamy, because there's a lot of people that don't, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to be clear about that.
If you desire it.
Yeah. And I think I had physically attracted to, but I feel like that kind of comes naturally with all the other things, and a sense of humor for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's list will look different. It's really about getting down to those core wants and essence.
Yeah. But it's interesting too, because I've one of my best friends, like on her list always is he has to be at least 6 foot.
And if that's a non-negotiable for you, maybe you're a taller person, and I would argue maybe if you did a little shadow and blocking, that might open you up a little bit more. But yeah,
that's what I was going to say. So she's always had 6 foot. I'm like, but like, why? Like, what is that kind of trying to boil it down with her? Like, where is that coming from? Why does it have, why is that height? What does that represent to you? And she's shorter, and she was made fun of for being shorter.
Yeah. So you have to unblock that.
Yep. So for her, it was more of a, oh, okay. Like I need to be empowered in whatever size I am. I don't need a partner to sort of pick up the pace where I feel like I dropped it. Like she wanted to be more empowered in her height.
And that's a really great depiction of whether we're doing our list, whether we're in, and this is so important for current partnerships we're in, when in relationship, when we are embarrassed of or triggered by, or what would our friends think of, or maybe something new has developed with the person and it brings us shame. It's all of our shit. And most of the time in a relationship, when something's up, it's our shit. Most of the time. And honestly, getting back at, if you have that little dangling carrot that when you can work on your own shit, I'll say this to me, when I can work on my own shit in a relationship, when I'm noticing there's tension or something's coming up, again, this is a relationship that there isn't abuse and all of the disclaimers, better stuff keeps happening in my life. Everywhere else, I keep manifesting other things, because love is such a big component attached to what we societally need a lot for the physical world, which is, I say money, but I'll say security. A lot of things that come that money tends to provide for us.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I think putting in that work on yourself in the relationship almost is like, it's so emotionally tying to be in a deep relationship or a partnership with someone. And if you can kind of express yourself fully there, be seen for who you are and work through your shadow in front of them, then stepping out in the world, it's like, okay, this is, you know, a little bit easier, or a piece of cake, or it's easier to ask for that raise or do this thing at work or whatever, because you're able to be honest in the most intimate of relationship in your life.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important to touch on a couple of examples, because some people could be listening who are in partnership right now, and they're like, but what would be some clear examples of when maybe I shouldn't exit, you know, and something deep's going on. And I remember seeing in the Facebook group, somebody had shared that their partner lost a parent and everything in their relationship had been going so well and advancing and in a really beautiful state. And then once their partner lost a parent, the level of grief that somebody went to was so drastic of how much the relationship changed, because the person, the partner that lost the parent, became really short and unavailable and all these things. And I think grief is a really interesting lens that can make all of us grow dramatically. And I loved looking at all of the comments that people were putting. I mean, there were hundreds of them in there, encouraging that it's actually grief is, you're just in such a different stricken place that. Yeah. And so even I'll give an example of Max and I, you know, having trying to get pregnant and experiencing a chemical pregnancy, I went into such a deep state of grief, of giving up, and it was so deep, and I knew that he couldn't really meet me there because he wasn't experiencing it so much physically, and he has time and all, you know, all that stuff. And I was so unbearable, not only hormonally, but also just in that state of, I mean, deep depression, like what's the point of another day, deep depression. And he held that space so strong for me, but I did keep looking at him, and I did question him often, because I was like, he doesn't get it. He's holding me back. He can't be in the play. And grief just puts such a cloud around each person and each person's experience that just let that be a warning. If anybody's going through that, that it will pass. Mm-hmm. If it's something that obviously lasts ages and, you know, seek help on it. But I just want to bring up a couple of highlights because I know we're quick when we're in manifestation that we don't want things to block us and hold us back. But it was actually a massive learning opportunity and growth opportunity for both of us personally to go through. So that's one. Do you have any references you can think of that people may be really hasty to exit or think they need to exit?
I think one thing that comes up, at least around a lot of female friends that I have, is men being less emotionally inclined to go through stuff. I feel like women are really empowered right now to kind of go through and process their emotions, and they're like, let's bring up all of our inner child work and let's dig deep into that. And a lot of the male partners are not necessarily,
because they haven't been culturally supported.
Exactly.
Which is the real issue.
Exactly. They're not game to necessarily go and do that yet. So it's like, what do we do when one partner is like loving and comforting, but a little bit resistant to that sort of change? And I've seen it on the reverse as well. I've seen like the male partner want to do that and the female partner.
And this is same for same sex.
Yeah,
everybody.
I was going to say. So having one partner essentially that doesn't really, isn't ready to dive in yet, but they are a great person, they're a great partner. What do people do in those situations? Like, do they hold out? Do they sort of lightly guide them there? Do they focus on themselves doing the work and let them kind of come? I think I read a story in the Facebook, the other group, similar, of someone who was like, okay, I'm not going to push them. I'm going to do the work. And they all of a sudden started coming to them.
Yeah. And that's sort of always my suggestion in that when I would have clients, that it was like, number one, it's fascinating how much you can change your outer reality when you fully change your inner reality. The whole outside changes, or it drops off and new things come in. That's just the way it is. So the more that we process every trigger we have and we unblock and expand, it's just simple law of energy. The outside has to shift to be on the same energetic level with us, or again, it'll drop off and the newer stuff will meet us. So always my first suggestion is do your own work, because your energy is going to change so much that they're either going to feel like they have to step up and do it. And this is all without words. Again, it can all happen without words. Obviously, communication's wonderful, but if you have a partner that's not there yet, doing it on your own first and seeing if they're willing to meet you in their own way. So Max is spiritual. Outings are his spiritual. Food is Course in Miracles and AA. We're totally different. You know what I mean? Like, what feeds us, but he does his own work. So do yours first. Then if it's really stunting, you have the conversation. Can we go see someone together? And then if they're really unwilling, again, that comes out to the exiting. Like, are you outgrowing this relationship so drastically quickly that they're not able to meet you there? That's when you can consider those things.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect advice. And then just some scenarios from questions we've had written in through supported or other things that I just wanted to make sure to touch on. So one of them was kind of like, been doing the apps, trying to date people in person, but have been perpetually single, really looking for a partner. Where are the main things that I should be examining? My issues.
Well, this is interesting because there's two things. We've talked about this on a recent supported, and supported's our once a month class where we answer manifestation questions from our members. And there are two things I would be looking at. Number one, there's something subconsciously that you're still not touching on. And we had, you know, somebody who was an employee here that she had grown up in a dynamic watching her parents. It just seemed kind of imprisoning their relationship, you know, and the mom was much more dynamic than the father. And so she couldn't see it yet, but she wasn't in partnership often because literally subconsciously she was still screaming like, oh, I don't want to be locked into an imprisoning situation like that. I too have experienced this based on the household my mom grew up in and then passed to me. So there's something still there that is pushing, literally like projecting out keep me safe by not keeping me in this. Mm-hmm. And there can be an array of examples of what that could be. The second thing that I think we touched on really well in that supported episode is the dog paddling. Mm-hmm. Everything else, and I'll let you explain that one.
Yeah, it's kind of like just that nervous energy that needs to fill sort of that bucket of partnership. And it's almost like when you're dog paddling, your boundaries are not being honored because you're kind of a little bit throwing them to the wayside because you're like, oh, I really, you have this anxious energy of like needing attention and wanting people to look at you because you're trying to fill this thing that, you know, people have this hole inside of them and they're looking for other people to fill that piece. That's how I kind of see it.
You haven't moved into the place of deserving yet.
Yeah.
And that's not something you can force. You have to get there.
Yeah.
It's like life. It's a dance of unblocking and expanding enough and passing enough tests again. It's like you kind of arrive there.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I find most empowering is also knowing that the unblocking and expanding are all action steps. They're not this like elusive, you just sit and just meditate on it. That's part of it for sure. And that's really helpful unlocking where these things came from. But then you can actually go into the real world and you're like, okay, how am I going to choose to do these things even microscopically differently? Like one thing for me, I'll try to do is if I'm feeling kind of small or whatever that day, be more personable with like the person at the coffee shop. Or see how I can express confidence in that way. And so I feel like when we're unblocking in all these other ways, stepping past, you know, fear, stepping into that in our jobs or in our daily life, that comes back around to your confidence towards your partnership. And it kind of helps alleviate and get out of the dog paddling and into more stable grounds.
Yeah, worth. More yep. worth. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then just going back to the person looking for that partner who's like struggling to going through that checklist of like, you know, does it impede on the boundaries? Like
the test.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might think you're passing tests, mm-hmm. but you might be repeatedly running into the fire. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you may pass it in one regard with a person, but then if you're still engaging with them and you're still allowing to like potentially date them, you're just going to keep...
And we cover that in Unblock Love, yeah. which if you are in the dating stages, yes. you should absolutely be doing Unblock mm-hmm. Love. It's just energetically to learn and help you understand. I mean, it's really a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And if you're in partnership now and a lot of this is resonating, the workshops that are going to be the most beneficial are always going to be the daily reprogramming exercise, shadow, inner child, and no.
Yeah. Inner child, I think it's huge. It just gives you the entire lay of the land of like why you're doing
completely.
You're doing.
Completely. And it's like one that I revisit over and over and over again with new things. May it be the relationship lens I'm going through. May it be the company lens I'm going through. I mean, I'm always revisiting it.
Yeah.
All of them, like a shadow and inner child.
Is it possible? And we kind of touched on this a little bit. Is it possible for someone's actions to be a test and not an entire relationship? So like, is it possible to be tested in how you're going to respond to someone, let's say in an argument, if you're already in a relationship, instead of that whole relationship being a test?
100%. So if you're already committed and in a relationship, again, I think it's really about just going high level. Does it hit any of those exit filtration things to look at? Mm-hmm. Again, abuse of any kind, gaslighting, emotional manipulation. If you're seeking help with those things, are they growing with you and willing to work on things with you? And if you're getting a lot of no's, like all is not that, like we don't qualify for those things at this moment. Arguments are the most healthiest things we can have, if they're done healthily, if we have good tools around them. I think disagreements are what help us grow over and over and over again. And allowing that mirror to present is really important.
Yeah. And then the last question, and I think a lot of people are starting to learn more about this and also just like fall on the spectrum of like codependency and whether that's being, you know, avoidant, and, you know, there's the entire spectrum. We kind of touched on a little bit in the beginning, but if someone's like, okay, I do realize I check the boxes for whatever category it is, how do I go about alleviating that?
I personally love CODA. I'm a big fan of 12-step. It was really helpful for me for that. There's great books that exist on codependency and certainly working with a professional. But I do think if you're experiencing codependency, it is something you want to do in tandem with a tool. Because often when we're experiencing it, we're putting others' needs before our own. Or if you're like I am, an avoidant, then you're trying to avoid and just run away from everything like I can do. So it's really allowing another tool or another support system to mirror and help you expand and grow and work through those things. I really believe in that. I think that's really important if you're identifying as that.
Definitely. And then as you're going through kind of working through that stuff, it's also, I found really useful, like turning to the DREs or something for like a trigger, an emotional trigger. And I'm like, okay, is this, you know, am I working through an attachment type? Like, what am I understanding and how can I understand this situation through a clearer lens instead of through this fear-based part of me?
Yeah. And the DREs, it's the daily reprogramming exercise if you're a new listener. So it's our exercise that you can do a la carte or within the pathway that is supposed to be a 20 minute a day practice where you journal, you do the hypnosis, like you pinpoint why you're getting this trigger, where you picked it up from, and unblocking it. And then I think something we should touch on briefly before wrapping this up are those that are exiting a relationship or have just been broken up with or vice versa. Let's touch on that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's really important during this time.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, especially when they're, I mean, whether you're the one that was broken up with or you're the one that exited the relationship, there is almost a grief to that relationship. And there's a feeling of like, oh, am I ever going to not feel like this anymore? Like it feels, it's such a heavy energy, especially if you were happy at all in the relationship. It's something that I've had some, you know, breakups that were easier than others, but I've definitely had ones that really took a toll. And I think the biggest piece of advice I would give anyone going through that is like honor your feelings, express your feelings, journal them out. It will get better. There is light on the other side of the tunnel. You know, you will find, if you're looking for a certain kind of partner in the future, they're out there. Trust your gut on why, you know, the relationship ended for the reasons it did, and just know that you have that sort of that self-worth to have everything that you are dreaming of.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, and this isn't a pitch or anything, this is if you're needing a tool right now. I went through the most horrific breakup of my life. Like literally, it gave me melasma because it hormonally messed me up so much. And I lost so much weight. It was crazy when I was 24. And if I had had this workshop, then I would have been so grateful because I was turning, I think I was reading every breakup book, like why he's just not that into you. And I was reading everything to be like, how do I make this never happen again?
Did you Google like what to do?
There was a PDF I remember buying that was like how to get the person back, you know, like through basically manipulation of your energy. Oh man, I explored it all. But we have the course in Up Level called Rock Bottom. Mm. And the energetics that it teaches you during this, including the one of grace, is so important for your manifestation process when you're going through this. So even if you're bubbling up right now and you're like, I know that this has to end, or I suspect that it's going to end because of whatever painful reason or another, they're all painful. The rut is a good time for that. But after the breakups actually happened, or when you're right when you're about to be in it, it's, I think that Rock Bottom is a really important workshop that will really hold your hand energetically so that you can come out on the other side, really manifesting what you want. And just like Jessica said, I think the fears for me that would come up when I knew I needed to exit something or it was being, you know, prematurely stopped, because even if I didn't want it, was, will I ever, I'll never find someone I love this much again or like this out there again. Mm-hmm. And you are going to find someone so much better mm-hmm. out there. Yeah. You will. And the beautiful thing that I want to say from a manifestation perspective is if you're in this space or about to be in this space, it is only the universe only earthquakes us when we have been consciously or unconsciously asking for something really good. And again, this can be totally other aspects of our life, maybe money, career, blah, 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 blah. But it's very close to you and you're not growing your self-worth quick enough to meet it. Therefore, you get earthquaked into sort of a rock bottom experience to grow your nervous system to be able to hold this next thing and grow your self-worth quick enough because you've been settling so much and whatever the dynamic may have been. So I just really want to impart on you something very big is wanting to connect with you, and you are going to, in partnership, have something so much better than this in the future. I just really want to say that right now. And everything we've talked about in this entire episode, again, I just have to put the bow on. It really comes down to us and doing our work. So may you be looking in or leaving. It all is the same thing. You're really getting down to unblocking, expanding, and passing tests so that you can ultimately get into your whole authentic, worthy self. You're not alone. I've been in every single one of those phases in the worst case scenario of them. It's a beautiful thing to be in any of those places, all equally. Even now in my relationship, the grass is always greener. If Max wasn't around, I would go move to Maine 4 months of the year, and I would live in Scotland in these times, and I would do this, and my next partner would be that. And the grass is always greener, no matter which of those you are in. And it really comes down to you looking at why you think the grass is always greener and why you're experiencing a block and a trigger. It really comes down to our own work.
Yeah. Hearing you say that.
I would adopt a kid if I didn't have Max around. I would be single and adopt a kid. I mean, there's so many of those things.
Yeah, I was going to say, hearing you say that, it feels like a warm hug. Because it feels like, okay, whatever fears anyone may have, and I've been at same, I've been at all of those phases. It feels so good to know, like, you have the power to bring yourself joy, to raise your self-worth, to have the things you want in life, and
to create. You're your own creator.
Yeah, like, you're enough. Like, let's go.
Honestly, the more enough you are, the more you're going to attract in whatever version of love you want, really. And so today has nothing to do with the other part. It's so empowering, like Jessica saying, you're your own creator. That's the most liberating thing in the world. Therefore, you're not waiting on anybody else to create for you. You're creating yourself. And we just hope that that's a really expansive thing to do too for anybody, any of the phases you're in, may it be looking in or leaving, go check out the motivation. It's testimonial portal of My Magnetic Stories. You click on it, we'll have the link below. It says the motivation, and you'll click right on love. Feel free to click on career too, because they're always connected, and just read them to be expanded right now that you are your creator. You can create without having to wait on anybody else the type of partnership you want, the type of one you're calling in, or certainly while exiting the next one you want to create once you've healed.
Yay!
Happy Valentine's Day!
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone!
If you celebrate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And celebrate yourself.
Yourself. Yeah, self-care. That's what I do on Valentine's Day. Same. I'm like, I'll get a massage today.
Rose petals.
Max is just a bonus if he's around, but I'm like happy to celebrate myself.
Exactly.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, please pass it around to anybody else you think would benefit from it as well. And today we want to congratulate Miss Susie Yu. You are the winner. So every week we announce that we are offering a 1-year free membership to the pathway for anybody who goes and reviews this podcast, giving it 5 stars and what they've gotten from it. And so today, Susie writes, Lacey's work has truly changed my life. I'm not a woo-woo person, so the fact that it's so based in quantum physics caught my attention. I'm in my 40s and never ever thought I could turn my life around as I have. I love this podcast and I look forward to it every week. It keeps me on my toes, inspires me to continue the work, and most importantly, keeps me manifesting. Thank you, Lacey, and the team. Susie, please write in so we can gift you this 1-year membership to The Pathway. And for anybody else who feels called or inspired, leave your 5-star review and how this podcast has helped you to enter to win your membership. Have a great weekend.